I've entitled this May Reflection, Friendship, Mutual Love. De Sales writes that among the passions of the soul, love holds the first place. And he quickly adds that friendship is the most dangerous of all types of love, since other kinds may be had without intercommunication, but friendship is completely based on it, intercommunication. He writes that friendship is mutual love, and if it is not mutual, it is not friendship. Moreover, there must be an awareness of a reciprocal affection. The saint also writes there must also be some kind of communication between them, and this is the basis of friendship. There could not be a better person to reflect on friendship than De Sales. He was known for his many friendships, particularly his spiritual friendships. Commenting on the spiritual correspondence between St. Francis de Sales and St. Jane Frances de Chantal, a pastoral theologian Henry Nouwen writes, and I quote, "The love of God revealed in Jesus Christ pervades every line of the letters they both wrote. Jesus himself makes their friendship possible. In an era in which so much emphasis," he writes, "is put on the interpersonal and so much attention is given to emotions and passions and feelings as the stuff that makes or breaks relationships, the Jesus-centered friendship between De Sales and Jane de Chantal is a challenge to us. Francis and Jane show us clearly that the deepest intimacy among people is an intimacy that finds its origin and goal not in the human partner, but in God, who gives people to each other in friendship to be incarnate manifestations of the divine love." That's Henry Nouwen. "And there thus cannot be a better type of friendship than one based on our love in and for Jesus, who himself represents love, a unique and perduring, an Easter kind of love, a salvific kind of love, a love demonstrated one Friday on a long weekend millennia ago on a cross at Jerusalem, a cross which ultimately became the tree of life, the tree of love. It was a love cross, a living and loving cross from which our salvation was won, all out of loving friendship for us, for he had told us in the upper room, that most important upper room in Christendom, that he called us his friends. Jesus is forever our companion along the way. He is a model friend. To break open the word companion, for those of us who struggle through Latin, means with bread, cum panis. And we know that his companionship, breadship, is ultimately revealed in the bread of life, the Eucharist, the Sunday Eucharist, or as Augustine refers to every Sunday Eucharist, as a little Easter. Jesus is still walking with us on that most famous road to Emmaus, where we come to know him as well in the breaking of the bread. Or in the words of Cardinal Wuerl, most especially, though, we grow in the blessed life when we receive Christ in the sacraments and spend time in conversation with him, having him as our traveling companion, cum panis, in our journey in life. No mere historical figure, he is alive and desires a living relationship with us. He is likewise walking with us to Jerusalem, to our daily Jerusalems, and he's walking with us on the way to Calvary, our little Calvaries that daily reveal themselves to us in our sicknesses, our broken relationships, our losses of loved ones and employment and daily loneliness and frustration and ultimately death. There is a Calvary in all of our lives, and happily Jesus is there with us as we break the bread and are inserted into his loving companionship on the way to the cross and beyond it to risen life, our promise. What an incredible assurance and reassurance he gives us if we would only be open to him and his walk with us and our life in him each and every moment of the day. His is a friendship ministry of accompaniment, to use the word of Pope Francis, our beloved Pope. We likewise experience his joy when we change our course and turn to him in the power of the Holy Spirit. And certainly in these weeks of Easter, the gospel, the Acts of the Apostles has often been referred to as the gospel of the Holy Spirit. In the power of the Holy Spirit, if only we yield to the Spirit, we're pulled into communion, into friendship, the friendship between the Father and the Son. Augustine said that the Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son in the Godhead. And we're pulled up by the Spirit into that loving relationship between the Father and the Son, into the very Godhead itself. As such, we are enabled to live in deeper communion with each other, in and through our communion with Jesus and his Father. Jesus, our truest and most faithful friend. One might ask why DeSales places friendship under the third part of the Introduction to the Devout Life, entitled Instructions on the Practices of Virtues. And we still have more to go in that section, and I'll continue that in the fall. He describes friendship as mutual love and love as a virtue. That's why it's in the section under virtues. He challenges the reader to form friendships only with those who share virtuous things with you and who are willing to cultivate virtue. The higher the virtue shared and exchanged with others, the more perfect, according to DeSales, is the friendship, a virtuous friendship. That is what he describes as true friendship. It is sharing and having virtues in common. If your mutual and reciprocal exchanges concern charity, devotion, and Christian perfection, O God, how precious this friendship will be, he writes. It's excellent because it comes from God. It leads to God. And this kind of friendship bond will endure eternally in God. For DeSales, it is a spiritual friendship. This is the kind of friendship based on mutual love that DeSales describes in this section. He thus relies on all the philosophers, including St. Thomas Aquinas, who states that friendship, this kind of friendship, is a virtue. And that's why it's under the section on virtue. And that, moreover, is why DeSales, friendship, as I've mentioned, is placed under the third part of the Introduction to the Devout Life. It takes on a virtuous patina, if you will. He warns us as well about the difference between worldly friendship, which is to be avoided, and spiritual friendship, which is to be encouraged. Spiritual friendship is identified as a friendship that uses plain, sincere language and praises nothing but virtue and God's grace, the only foundation on which such friendship rests. You can see that DeSales is not speaking about the hail fellow well met type of friendship, which is certainly oftenly portrayed in our day. He's holding out for a higher bar, a virtuous relationship, one that grows as we grow into our friendship with Christ and is guided by it, and a life of virtue. DeSales encourages us to call on God, and he will help you and take you under his protection so that you will live for him alone. So come with me, if you will, to that upper room, that most important upper room in all Christendom. It is there, after all, that Jesus opened his heart and spoke about friendship. His heart, his kind of friendship, friendship with him. He told his gathered disciples that night before he died, "You are my friends. I no longer call you slaves. I call you friends because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father." John 15:14-15. And he sets forth the test of true friendship. "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends," John 15:13. The Second Vatican Council teaches, by this revelation, the invisible God, from the fullness of his love, addresses men and women as his friends and moves among them in order to invite and receive them into his own company, his friendship, Dei Verbum 2. Jesus thus desires to be our friend. But what does that mean? What does friendship mean to us in our very busy and distracted world today? Are deep and lasting friendships even possible today? Some would say that friendship is a lost art or merely reduced to a word used on Facebook. Is it possible to be friends with a God we do not see if we are increasingly unable or find it difficult to be friends with persons we do see? That's the ultimate question. On the other hand, and importantly, the way we think about human friendships can, should, and assist us in our efforts at friendship relation with God. There's a relationship. As we recoup an understanding of true spiritual friendships, the type modeled by Francis and de Sales and Jane de Chantal, it should be easier to approach friendship with God, our God, who calls us and names us his friends. In his opening remarks to the young people at Poland a few years ago, Pope Francis spoke of friendship in this way. He said, "To say that Jesus is alive means to rekindle our enthusiasm in following him, to renew our passionate desire to be his disciples, an intentional Christianity. What better opportunity to renew our friendship with Jesus," he says, "than by building friendship among yourselves?" Same point. What better way to build our friendship with Jesus than by sharing him with others? In my book on the commandments we keep, I mentioned that I asked members of my RCIA group upstairs here when I did RCIA a few years ago on the values and qualities they see in friendship. And they responded by highlighting the importance of loyalty among friends, openness and honesty, the exchanging of advice and attempts at genuine mutual understanding. They also mentioned the sharing of activities and even hardships with each other and being proactive with one another. Underlying these qualities, it would seem that a person-to-person relationship would be an essential quality to fostering and sustaining genuine human friendships, friendships based on a virtuous and spiritual life, life in Christ. It takes a conscious effort, intentional effort, to sustain and develop friendships. De Sales writes, "Friendship obliges us rather to aid and assist one another, to free ourselves from every kind of fault." He's rather explicit, in addition, when he warns against sin. He says genuine living friendship cannot continue in the midst of sin. Sin destroys the friendship in which it lodges. He writes furthermore that a friend who would lead us into sin has become our enemy. Pretty tough language. In his book, The Jesuit Guide to Almost Everything, A Spirituality for Real Life, Jesuit Father James Martin devotes an entire chapter to friendship with God. Father Martin starts his chapter with the major point in the book of another Jesuit, Father William Barry, who used to be at Holy Cross in Worcester, who actually concludes, and I quote, "The way you think about friendships can help you think about and deepen your relationship with God." If Jesus wishes to be our friend, and he has told us that he does, then at least by analogy, it would behoove us to reflect on the model human friendships we have had or continue to have. It might give us some insight into friendship with God and how that friendship, for sure, a developing relationship, could be defined or redefined and experienced. My dear mom once told me, and I now believe correctly, that if I had one genuine and faithful friend in life, I should consider myself a very lucky person. Proverbs teaches, "Some friends bring ruin on us, but a true friend is more loyal than a brother." Proverbs 18:24. It would seem then that true friends are hard to come by. I'm not speaking of acquaintances either. Those are the stuff of Rolodexes, if they still exist, a distinctly Washington phenomenon. Genuine friendships are different. I cannot tell you how many spouses have referred to their respected spouse as my best friend. That's a good place to begin. St. Thomas Aquinas has written that through conjugal love, the love between a husband and wife, they participate in the greatest form of friendship. Pope Francis writes, speaking of married love, "It is a union possessing all the traits of a good friendship, concern for the good of the other, reciprocity, intimacy, warmth, stability, and the resemblance born of a shared life." Amoris Laetitiae, 1:23. If friendship, according to De Sales, is mutual love, then it does not necessarily disappear as couples grow older. As they know each other so well, very well, every aspect seemingly of each other, they seem to be increasingly inseparable. It is the ultimate support. They enjoy simply being together. And that is not only a quality of older couples. I've observed that younger couples also enjoy spending time together. To ensure that that time happens, date nights seem to be a modern invention out here in the hills of Bethesda, are reserved on their iPhones. A date night for a young couple done on iPhones. One younger couple recently told me they both very much enjoy simply sitting in front of the fireplace and relaxing with each other. A genuine friendship requires keeping in touch with each other. It requires, and this is often tested, being present in time of need or in times of joy and truly caring for another. It is expressed by unconditional love. After a period of time apart, it means picking up where one left off and not missing a beat. It is true mutual love. Friendship is another word for companionship, a one-on-one relationship between two people marked by mutual honesty and openness without any fear of reprisals. Friendship requires the ability to listen to each other, even when one might not be interested in a particular topic or issue or have heard that topic and issue 1,000 times. We understand that, huh? We get that. It's not overly competitive or based on a primarily utilitarian interest. True friendship is an encounter with each other, an encounter, an encontro, they say in Spanish, huh? Friendship is tested over time. One has a feel that a certain relationship is truly one of friendship and can and should be developed over time. There is, moreover, a healing power to genuine friendship. In that great movie, The King's Speech, which came out a few years ago, I think you can now watch it on your own television sets, the king's therapist, who was a commoner, who became his friend, asked him, "What are friends for?" His response, "I wouldn't know." The healing of his stammer was as much about the skills of a therapist as it was about the healing effect of perhaps his first and only friend, a commoner who helped him to speak without any impairment. DeSales writes that true friendship requires close communication between friends, since otherwise it can neither come into existence nor remain in existence. All the more is this true with respect to our friendship with God. Friendship with God, a true model for a spiritual and virtuous human relationship and friendship, means walking with Him, being in His presence, shutting everything else out. It is wasting time, precious time with God, not unlike wasting time and just being with someone you love. Prayer is kissing God, touching God, being touched by Him, a touching of spirits, a conscious awareness of His presence, an intimacy with Him, a friendship, a daily appointment in this time of appointments gone amok. St. Jose Maria Escriva once wrote that the first appointment every day should be an appointment with Jesus Christ. That appointment is a prayerful encounter of friendship. Our age is marked and effectively transformed by another kind of friendship, that of social networking. The advent of the digital age, well into the age. We have not yet been able to text God or have Him as our friend on Facebook. But as helpful as this new technology is in bringing people together, and I'm realizing that it is more and more, I sometimes think that notwithstanding the ease of communicating with one another, we seem to be getting more distant from each other as persons, as friends. I'm not a Luddite. Yes, I'm learning about Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, and in fact have written 6 books with the help of my computer. If truth be told, however, I communicate daily and hopefully effectively on the computer and iPhone. Sometimes I worry, as I am sure you do, that it can become addictive and absorbing and rush out or push out other types of more intimate friendships and relationships. For sure, for each of us, there needs to be a word of caution here. Social networking cannot replace the one-on-one relationship That is the traditional mark of unique and genuine friendships with each other and God. Emeritus Pope Benedict wrote in his 45th World Communications Day message, speaking of the extraordinary potential of the internet, and I think he uses it, and other means of social technology, he sets forth some of the risks, and I quote, "In the search for sharing for friends, there is the challenge to be authentic and faithful and not give in to the illusion of constructing an artificial public profile for oneself." He adds, "It is important always to remember that virtual contact cannot and must not take the place of direct human contact with people at every level of our lives. It's so easy, I think, to hide behind an email instead of listening to someone person to person, or increasingly depersonalize our relationships for the use of such technology." I'm reminded of a recent picture in the Washington Post. I think Father Lewis pointed this out to me. A few weeks ago, where five young people are awaiting the tram at the United States Capitol, that tram that goes from the Capitol to the House or Senate office building. Each was buried in his or her own iPhone, but with no actual interpersonal contact with each other. It was the picture shown. Whether it was done purposely or not, I don't know. Does this not tell the story of the limitation of so-called digital contact with one another, standing next to each other, but no personal communication? Or I was at an airport in Germany last year, and I couldn't get this machine to work. And there was a whole group of young people around this table, about 10 of them. And I said, well, maybe I'll interrupt them and ask for some help. They're young, so they must know how to work this. They were all talking to each other on these phones. And to have to interrupt them was kind of, I felt badly at once, but I finally said, come on, interruption here. We've seemingly come a long way from having our dog as our best friend, as Harry Truman suggested. It's now so often the iPhone or whatever new means of social communication is being sold. Unlike the dog, it does not have to be walked. These are just caveats. True friendship is not simply a technological connection. It is an encounter with each other and above all with God. The deeper our continual encounter with God, the more fruitful will be our friendship encounters with each other and vice versa. There's no replacement or improvement for that kind of friendship with God and with each other. In his recent apostolic letter, Gaudete et Exultate, let us rejoice and be glad, should be read over the summer. We'll hear a little bit more about it in the fall. It's very beautiful. Pope Francis writes of the vocation to holiness, a call received by each one of us, lay and ordained, each one of us at our baptisms. It is a call to be lived with each other and subject to growth. The Pope writes that growth in holiness is a journey in community, side by side with others. That's friendship, huh? So even the growth in our vocation to be holy, and it is a vocation, takes place in community. Not just religious communities, but that's a beautiful way for that to happen, but in our family communities, one-on-one with each other. In effect, true friendship grows with another as individuals grow in holiness with each other. I wrote that this morning. In effect, true friendship grows with another as individuals grow in holiness with each other. Make sense? A little early. Our personal daily encounter with Jesus models for each of us the true understanding of friendship, one based on genuine mutual love. For details, moreover, such mutual love, yes, a virtuous relationship, thus describes true human friendship to which each one of us aspires in life.